Ground beef? Like from a zombie takeout? What's up? Welcome to episode 43 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And this week, we're finally, once again, getting back to the classic Bees.
Yeah.
And this one is a seminal B-movie. We're doing it right. This week we have, from 1985, Trancers. And of course, now it's time for Scotto's impromptu plot summary.
Brought to you by the 63 Angels.
Yes.
I wonder where they're playing at that time. Baseball joke. Yeah. The Angels have had like 5 locations.
Even I got that one.
Okay, good. So this movie, to give you a sentence, it's sort of like Blade Runner and the Terminator, only with zombies.
Yeah.
We have the noir cop who's coming into the diner. He somehow can tell that these people have been put in a trance and turned into zombies, which I still quite don't follow. Just because you're hypnotized and zombie-like doesn't make you a zombie. Two different things, but that's just me. They have this convoluted time traveling thing also, where they are, where they send him back into an ancestor, because that's what the bad guy did. And they are chasing each other around 1985, which would have been awesome if they could have ran into Marty McFly somewhere.
Yes.
In his DeLorean.
Nah.
Odd that they came out the same year, isn't it? But, again, just saying. So he's chasing around the bad guy. He has 2 opportunities to kill him outright. He passes on them. And instead, he saves the chick, which was played by Helen Hunt.
The first point of the classic B-movie list. Someone who would eventually become famous.
Right. And you know, when I said, wow, I know this was a trilogy and stuff, and then I later found out it was actually...
Septology.
Septology.
Or sextology. Sorry.
Like, right. It probably will be a 7th one. Who are
but
we
there,
kidding?
There's talk of it.
Give it time. But, yeah, she was actually in the first 3. And the 3rd one was out the same year that Mad About You was out.
Yeah, she had a name when she did the second one.
Well, the 3rd one at least.
Yeah. And incidentally, by the time it got to DVD, she had already become well known, and her name is above Tim Thomerson's on the DVD of the first movie.
And don't forget Michael Stefani, which more about him in a little later.
Okay.
So that's pretty much the impromptu plot summary for
this.
Because we've got too much to talk about with the cast and stuff.
Now, you mentioned a couple of things I want to hit on here.
Sure.
You mentioned that the time travel method was convoluted, I think was your word?
Yes.
Now, I'll admit it was all time travel is a little convoluted. It has to be. But I think this could have been a major influence on Quantum Leap, which didn't start until a few years later.
Very true.
Because what's effectively what they do is they transfer the consciousness into an ancestor.
Right.
They take over an ancestor's body, and which was unheard of at that point. It was, you know, because you always hear it compared to Terminator. That was a big thing on Wikipedia. I really don't see the Terminator connection aside from the time travel thing.
And him becoming his own ancestor.
Oh, yeah, well, then we'll get to that. I forgot about that part. Yeah. Well, that doesn't really, not really becoming his own ancestor. That's not necessarily a Terminator thing, because that's not what happened in Terminator. John Connor sent his father back in time, who eventually became his father.
True, okay.
Slight variation.
It actually makes sense.
Yeah. But both stories do create the same loop.
Right.
And that was my one issue with the movie, is that, and spoiler alert, he gets the bad guy at the end, therefore ending, you know, breaking the loop, but he doesn't cease to exist. But it's a B movie. You got to allow for that sort of thing.
Okay, I mean, so you're right with the Quantum Leap thing, and actually, you know, that was a series I bought into time-traveling-wise, because, I don't know, there was, I guess, more of an effort, you know, he was, you know, a quantum physicist.
Well, Quantum Leap was better. I'm not saying, overall quality, at least the first couple seasons, were better. I'm not,
You know, they just injected something into themselves and were able to time travel. I don't know.
Yeah, it's cheesy, but it's a B-movie.
True.
Now, the other thing I wanted to mention, now, we had a big discussion some weeks ago, months ago, I think it was ongoing for a few episodes, on the origin of Ash, how they came up with the character of Ash and what may have been an influence. Now, this was a couple of years, I think this predates, at least by 1 year, Evil Dead 2, which was the origin of the real Ash.
Right.
But it also, you mentioned noir, and that's one thing that occurred to me. Ash and Jack Death are both based on the film noir detectives, and essentially Humphrey Bogart.
Well, Ash is in a class on his own.
But I see
the Humphrey Bogart here, but Ash, there is no other Ash.
Basic personality, though. It all comes from the film noir detective.
Right. But Ash took it into...
Well, but in a different direction. And
yeah. I mean, this, you know, he... leaping. I like him when he came back and he had, like, this Nick Nolte hair.
Mm-hmm. Dry hair is for squids.
Yes.
Also, again, we forgot to mention this is our third or fourth zombie movie, depending on whether you count Evil Dead.
You know, so have people stopped giving you shit for not doing zombie movies?
I haven't been paying attention. That was only in one or two places.
Okay.
But I just, you know, it's yet another zombie movie, and, you know, the fourth, I think, if you count Evil Dead, which you could consider some of it zombie.
Definitely.
And it's a, you know, it's a great combination movie. Like, we talked about how Shaun of the Dead was, you know, the slacker film meets zombies.
Right.
This is sci-fi zombies. I don't know of any other case where that's been done.
I still don't get how being a trick makes you a zombie.
Yes, and half dead, half alive, right.
It's somebody taking the term too literally. He's like a zombie.
Well, and it's not just they have no will of their own zombie, because you could use that term, you know, as somebody who has no will of their own, they're a zombie.
Sure.
But there, he at one point says they're neither dead nor alive, and they've got the rotting skin, or, you know.
Right.
They look like zombies, which, it doesn't quite fit.
Like, what? I mean, it took me... I didn't really get it until I read the Wikipedia entry, why they were zombies, after I watched it. It was, okay, so that's it. All right. And I guess that leads me I guess my biggest complaint about this movie...
Okay.
And that would be Michael Stefani, who would have been right at home in They Call Me Bruce.
Now, who did
or Troll 2.
I didn't pay much attention to the cast. Who is he playing?
He is the bad guy.
Oh, okay. Whistler.
And I have to say...
Okay.
I couldn't tell whether he was the guy from the Ed Wood movies, the Beware.
Right.
Or whether he was a later Martin Short character.
See, okay, he is your typical overacting arch villain, and I mean arch in quotes as in overdoing the performance. But it's a B movie. Again, this is one of those you kind of have to lower the standard and just enjoy it.
There's so many B movie villains that are poorly acted, but they're having fun with it.
True.
We have fun with it.
Yeah.
This guy, Like, was he supposed to be a zombie himself?
True. Yeah, he's a little...
Eel.
Us.
He could very well be one of the worst actors we've seen in the series.
Very
And that's
possible.
saying a lot.
Yeah.
That's saying an awful lot. Made Zooey Deschanel look like Olivier.
Wow, yeah.
But I mean, I only have one other smaller beef, but I won't get to that. But I mean,
Okay.
other than that, I
But
really did enjoy this.
okay, yeah, the villain, I'm with you. I enjoyed it because it was so stereotypically by the book Arch.
Right.
But you're right, he didn't have fun with it. And I didn't enjoy his scenes as much.
No, he was a complete waste of celluloid.
But Tim Thomerson, brilliant. As Jack Death. He hit every mark perfectly.
Yeah.
Helen Hunt, who normally kind of annoys the hell out of me, I liked in this movie.
It was a little weird seeing her and not like going, ugh.
Exactly. And I gotta say, she actually used to look good.
Well, yeah. Yes, she did.
It's been a while since I've seen any of her older work.
And honestly, she hasn't aged that badly, and it
Well,
hasn't been
no.
her looks that I've
Well, this is
objected to. It's
this
more.
is true. I think it's her that I'm kind of projecting onto her looks.
Right. It's more of either, I don't know, acting ability or choice of roles. It just.
A little bit of both, probably.
Yeah, the wrong way. The wrong way. But yeah, here, I mean, I don't know if I really bought her as a punk.
No, God, no.
I mean, but
Especially when it's just a little bit of blue in her hair.
yes, I didn't even notice it until someone pointed it out in the movie. Like, oh,
Yeah,
is
I
that what
didn't.
that's supposed to
Same
be?
here, until it was in the mall scene when they said, the kid says, "Why is your hair blue?"
I just thought it was a lighting thing
Yeah.
first. And okay, that mall. I mean, at first, I was not liking this movie until the mall scene. And then I was immediately won over.
Zombie Santa?
Oh my God, that scene is great. I mean, that scene really. Have you seen the movie Elf?
No.
There is no doubt. There's at least one scene you have to see in the movie
Okay.
Elf with the mall Santa that they no doubt
Oh, really?
took from this.
Oh, wow.
The mall Santa is played by Artie Lang.
Oh, okay.
Will Ferrell, of course, being an elf in American society, thinks that, Santa is really coming to the mall. So he's, the fanboy elf going up to the department store Santa. Hilarity literally does ensue. It's a great scene there. But this, they shot Santa.
Okay.
But this movie, I mean, there's no doubt they took it from that.
Okay.
The guy playing Santa was like a bit player who.
He's done quite a bit. I looked at his resume because initially I thought he was with the Santa beard on. He looked a bit like the grandpa from Troll 2. I
Yeah.
thought it was him at first, then I had to check, and it wasn't him. But he has done quite a bit. He's, one of those actors who does, like Jack Gelford, he does a lot of small stuff.
Yeah. And so yeah, seeing that I mean it went that was right that wasn't too far after he had gone back and it was kind of like what are they doing here kind of, And then seeing that scene I was definitely won over.
Yes.
I mean my other gripe about this movie is it's a small thing and I guess they didn't have much budget and that's why it was there but the scene in the future with the ruins of LA and I put air quotes you couldn't see me but I was putting air quotes over the word ruin.
Yeah.
Aside from it being underwater, the buildings looked pretty good.
Yeah, and that was budgetary, I'm sure. The when the only thing he pulls from the ruins is a plastic sign with some barnacles on it, they're working with a very small budget.
Oh yeah. So up until then, I was kind of like, what are they going to do with this thing? What's even really going on with the zombie? But the Santa Claus scene, the mall, worth the price of admission in this movie, would no doubt.
And one of my other favorite parts when McNulty comes back, his effectively what you, I don't know if they were partners or if it was his boss or what have you. The Murtaugh of the movie. In fact, they might as well have said he had a week till retirement. When he comes down the line, in other words, goes back to 1985 L.A.,
yeah.
The only ancestor he can get enough information on to take over is a 10-year-old girl.
And in, of course, the in the future, present day, I guess you could say, McNulty is played by the great Art LeFleur, who has another great outstanding bit player that has done so many different roles.
Right.
But yeah, that was pretty good too when he was in the taken over by into the young girl.
And then at the very end, she comes back, and it's that, you know, there's going to be a sequel.
Well, yeah, it was kind of that whole thing didn't make much sense either, the ending. Why
Well,
wouldn't he be able to go back?
yeah, well, he can't go back by himself. They can pull him back,
Right.
as they did, you know, the first time, you know, just before he was going to become his own father, ancestor the first time. But he can't go back by choice.
Right.
He only had one dose of the drug that sends them back.
And how come they couldn't send him another like they did the watch?
Well, yeah.
Like they were able to send him all of these different things, and then it's like there's the
Well, he had no way of letting them know he needed it at that point.
Oh boy. But the the other great bit player in this, and it drove me nuts. There was a Thelma Hopkins.
Yes.
So black woman. I'm like, where is she from? And she's the black chick from Bosom Buddies.
Bosom Buddies, Family Matters. I think she was on part of Tony Orlando and Dawn. She's done quite a bit.
Oh, and I almost forgot an even better bit player on the counselor. Where the council, you know, you might recognize him. His name's Richard Hurd.
Oh
And all
yeah. He's one of those actors I've seen in a billion things. I never know his name. I finally know his name now.
I could think of was maybe they should have gotten Costanza instead. Because of course he was Steinbrenner's right-hand man in Seinfeld. And so the council could have been taken over by George Steinbrenner, or an answer, you know, a descendant of George
Descendant,
Steinbrenner in the future, Hank or Hal, the 50th or whatever. So, what else do you have on this?
I'm pretty much done with my notes. I didn't get much on this one. It's basically your typical film noir loose cannon cop story. It's you know. If McNulty had been with him you know, in the trip to the past and had actually said he had a week till retirement, it would have been Lethal Weapon.
Yeah.
So it doesn't have a lot of originality, but when it has it really works. You know, McNulty going into the kid.
And I think it's a good point that did not really see any originality in this myself until you brought up the point about setting a consciousness back in time, which
Yeah.
was pretty
And,
I don't recall anything that like that being used in a movie before
no.
this either, which is quite original.
Now, one of the things I absolutely love about this movie, it has a great self-awareness. It knows exactly what it is. It makes no pretense about being anything more than a B movie.
Well, yeah, there was a lot of argument about the director on this. He has done a lot of movies like this, the Puppet Master series. Charles Band is the name, and there were arguments on his IMDb on whether he is a quote unquote hack or not. Now, and these are the types of movies he likes to make. That this is exactly what he's shooting for. If he were a hack, and somebody brought this up on his IMDb page, they offered him a lot of money to make a slasher movie back in the during the days when the Scream series was at its height.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned it down because it kind of bored him. There really was nothing in it for him to do.
He just wants to make the movies he wants to make.
Exactly. And he's not looking to make big-budget movies. He's done a lot of... I mean, they knew Jack Death is a pretty cheesy name, and I think they make that reference.
Getting to with the self-awareness. Because every time I would come up with a point that I was going to kind of, you know, nitpick on it, it answered it.
Right.
They answered. Why he didn't kill Whistler when he used the long second the first time. They answered it.
Still seems kind of silly.
Yeah.
But he didn't.
The fact that they were willing to say, you know, yeah, this doesn't make sense, and here we're going to tell you why we chose this, I like.
Well, Charles is even he even produced a movie that we talked about very early on in this series, a certain late 70s version of Cinderella.
Hmm?
Oh, long, long ago, probably from the Brother from Another Planet episode, I'm thinking.
Oh,
we talked
okay.
about it back then.
Okay, so it wasn't one we've reviewed. It was a tangential.
No. I have not been able to find it, or else you would. So that's this guy. You know, it's his thing.
And these are the kind of movies I love. These movies are the you know, that Full Moon, Surrender, that whole style, trauma, of course, are the reason I wanted to do this show.
Yeah, and this was a movie we probably should have gotten to sooner, as far for this series. But, you know, we've been mixing it up.
Yeah, yeah. And there are other ones we wanted to get to. We grouped and, you know, we went a little out of our purview. But anyway, so any other points?
Well, no, I think we're at the sequels and remakes.
Absolutely no trivia other than there were 5 sequels, which we've alluded to.
Yeah.
And so, sequels and remakes. There's been plenty of sequels. There's talk of a 7th. I think I've seen the first 3, and I think it really should have dropped it when it, you know, stopped being about death and Helen Hunt's character, and they bring in his ex-wife.
yeah, this sounds like it would make a good trilogy.
It just got silly after that.
I don't know. I've seen either parts of this movie or parts of the other 5 somewhere. I don't think this is the first time I've sat down and watched them in their entirety, really. And it was just kind of it was always a late night, you know, and kind of sitting down and watching whatever portion of it.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I could see this being a trilogy.
The trilogy, the first 3 were good. At one point, it becomes about his daughter, and Tim Thomerson only shows up in the movie in stock footage. That's the key. That's the point where you realize you got to let go.
Yes. Letterman's bit was using Thomerson, actually, as a bit player for a while last year, going by the name of Bob Boberson.
Yeah, it turns out he started as a stand-up comic.
Yeah.
Sequels, there's talk of a 7th. I don't think they should bother.
I think they need to reboot.
Reboot.
Like, yeah, every other series is done.
Yeah, this could be current, you know, with a decent budget, you know, and a slight rewrite to make it a bit more, not serious. I still like the fact that it has fun with itself, but if they took it a little more, they put a little more into it, it could be brilliant.
This should be a big-budget movie.
Yeah.
It really should be. The special effects were kind of cringeworthy a little. You know, like, oh, they turned glow yellow, and, I mean, it looked like something from the 70s that they would use on TV, really. Not even, like, big-budget 70s movies. I could see this rebooted, though. The question is, who can do this? At this point in time.
Death? Well,
yeah.
Okay, he doesn't need to be young. He can be in his 40s.
Okay.
I'm thinking Bruce.
Bruce. Willis or Campbell?
Campbell. Well, it's really interesting. I'm not a big fan, but he could pull it off. But I meant Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. Yeah, Campbell is pretty much the obvious choice, but
Yeah.
they wouldn't bank a big budget on Campbell, unfortunately.
This is true, yeah. He's still under the radar.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm still thinking B. I guess you could go with Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
See him pulling off the character. Trying to think of anybody big budget who I could see pulling off this kind of. Are you coming up with anybody?
No, I think the big budget guys are not looking so hot lately, if you think about it.
Bro, this is true.
Tom Cruise hasn't had anything since like Minority Report, and he would absolutely suck at this.
Day is the exact opposite of a movie that I would want to see.
Unless you want to put like a comedian in there, like Ashton Kutcher
Please no. I think it's got to go to, if you go in big budget, I think it's got to go to Bruce Willis.
Yeah.
The girl is kind of a placeholder.
Yeah.
Might as well put Cameron Diaz in there.
And obviously, Whistler should be played by Martin Short.
Or, of course, Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, that's so obvious, John. Come on.
Little side note, did you notice the Walmart for last week?
Of course I did. I
Okay.
don't know what, I didn't really understand it.
Okay.
This show never makes any Anthony Hopkins jokes.
So, we can we actually come up with someone who should play Whistler?
You don't think Martin Short? Seriously, doesn't he look like Martin Short with like as he does now?
Yeah. Or oh God, who what's the guy's name? Bullshit or Nut from Amazon Women on the Moon. Henry DeSilva.
Oh, wow.
He looks like.
Wonder what he's been doing these days.
Is he still around?
I had no idea. Bullshit or not. I think that leads us to the brains.
Brains.
Yeah.
That this is to me the textbook B movie. It is everything that is good and beautiful about B movies. It's the reason I do this show. I gotta go five.
I was originally I was well not originally like before but I'd say about before the Santa Claus mall fight scene I was saying this was a three.
Okay.
After that I was saying it's a four, and now I feel very comfortable about giving it a four after that originality that you pointed out to me about time travel. So yeah, I'm sticking with my four. I think it's something that you'd enjoy and really should and should check out if you haven't done so already.
As I was saying earlier, this is kind of a Hawk the Slayer, Cemetery Man kind of a situation where it's not everybody's cup of tea. It's not a masterpiece, but it's a safe bet that if you like the movies, you're gonna love it.
Yeah, and this is a lot of this did remind me of Hawk the Slayer, actually. I couldn't stop thinking about Hawk the Slayer when I was watching this with like the techno music for the 80s and stuff going the whole way.
So, what have we learned?
We learned that I'm a squid with dry hair.
And I don't know if I learned anything, but I think. Should I keep that, or should I actually try to think of something I learned?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why this episode has been so hard to do.
I learned that I should probably restart my computer before we start recording.
I guess this like
This one on that one, and you'll get it.
this will be our ton of like outtake reels for this one.
So until next week, go to zombietakeout.com, check out the album art, the descriptions, yada yada. Vote, rate the
Love
movies.
us.
Rate the movies. We've been giving you this opportunity for months now, and nobody's rating them.
Never
Also,
mind, the movies love us.
yes, yeah, well that too. Yes, please comment. So until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you
There
are.
you are. something that you'd enjoy and really should check out if you haven't done so already. Have I lost you again? Wow. This has been the episode of technical shit. We were almost done, dude. I can't hear you at all.